foster parents are urgently needed to provide loving homes for children. Remy Vista Foster Family Agency provides professional social workers, monthly training, and financial support in a Christian-based atmosphere. Open your heart and your home to a child that needs you. Contact Remy Vista Foster Family Agency here in Chico at 893-4784. That's 893-4784. And make a difference in a child's life today.
Kathy's Sew and Vac is Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority, specializing in parts, sales, and service. Family-owned and operated for over 35 years, Kathy's Sew and Vac has a huge inventory and knowledgeable staff to take care of all of your sewing and vacuum needs. Stop by Kathy's Sew and Vac today on Cohasset Road across from Kmart. That's Kathy's Sew and Vac, Chico's sewing machine and vacuum authority.
Did you know one out of three Chico households has unwanted junk? Junk can start out as a small problem, but as it grows, it can become a real health hazard. Don't drown in a pile of your own garbage.
Call Junk King today.
888-888-JUNK. That's 888-888-5865. When you think junk removal, remember Junk King. Call today. 888-888-JUNK.
Mention this ad for $25 off any load or $50 off a full load.
Junk King.
And Andy's Bullseye Repair.
Specializing in auto glass repair from bullseyes to full glass replacement. All insurance and major credit cards accepted. Call for a free estimate at 877-7387. 877-7387.
Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
The North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. The best shows I have are when we talk about real serious discussions on Scripture. Real theological discussions. And we have one of those today. So I always find these the most interesting. We have an author. Her name is Mary Lervold. And she wrote the book Reign of the Watchers. She's an expert of sorts on the book of Genesis. And she's written a book. It's a novel based on the teachings of Genesis. Also on the show, besides Mary Lervold, the author, is Pastor Donald Jordan, the pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Chico, and they're both on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just put your mic on. Say good morning again.
Oh, good morning.
And hello, Pastor.
Good morning, Jerry.
Mary, tell me about your book, Reign of the Watchers. First of all, what is it you're telling people in this book?
Well, one of the things that I thought was very important, and that is the book of Genesis. The Reign of the Watchers is a little time clip starting in the year 718. After creation. And in the Bible, there's just a few verses in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, that cover a certain time period that involves, at that time, Enoch and Methuselah. And that's the fiction that I've based it on. One of the things that I have, it's always been on my heart, it's been a passion, has been the book of Genesis. For many years, and something that's very near and dear to my heart is that Genesis is not allegory. Genesis is not myth. Mm-hmm. Genesis is historical fact. It's the Word of God. You know, this is the very Word of God that tells about the beginning of our world.
Now, the book, Reign of the Watchers, which you can get at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, the book focuses on, your story focuses on the times leading up to the Great Flood.
Correct.
And why God decided to have this flood for 40 days and 40 nights when Noah needed the ark, etc. The years leading up to that.
Yes.
Okay. So what? Tell me about the story. What is it that we learn that maybe many people don't know about why God chose to do what he did?
Well, that has always been a question that I've had, is how could things have gotten so horrendous that God would put an end to everything and everybody except for eight people and some animals on a boat? It had to have been extreme. And my story focuses on an interpretation of Genesis 6 that talks about the sons of God that lusted after the daughters of men.
And who are the sons of God?
Well, the Hebrew word for sons of God in this context, and I don't know the exact Hebrew word, Pastor, I don't know what Hebrew word it is. I've seen it, but I don't read Hebrew. But I do know in my research that particular word also occurs elsewhere in Scripture, and particularly in the book of Job, and it refers to the angels, and exclusively the angels.
So are these angels in heaven, or are these deviant angels, or what do you believe?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say whether they were previously fallen or whether they were good that went bad. It's probably more likely that it was fallen angels that, they still had an assigned station. They still were under, certain parameters that they're...
Pastor, yeah. You have a different interpretation of sons of God. You believe those are sons of God or just men on earth that have lusted after these women.
Yeah, there's two different interpretations of this, Jerry. There's kind of the historic, traditional view that the sons of God were the Sethites from the line of Seth, and that they were followers of God. They were pious men. Of course, they deviated. They fell away from God. And the reason for that interpretation that the sons of God were truly men, not angels, is that the term sons of God throughout Scripture is used for those who follow God. You are all sons of God and through Christ Jesus, etc., etc. There is an understanding that in the book of Job, the term sons of God does refer to angels, and nobody disagrees with that. It very specifically means the angels in the book of Job. But the question is, does it only mean angels in the Old Testament? And I would take the view, and many others do too, historically, that just because it talks about angels in the book of Job as being the sons of God, it doesn't mean exclusively that that's all they are as angels, that it's also used of humans. Okay. So there's two different views on this, of course. There's no doubt that great evil came from this. Mm-hmm. And even those who take the view that these were evil angels, the problem I have with that is what our Lord said, of course, that the angels don't marry, they're not given in marriage, and even the issue of procreation biologically, and then who are these offspring? Mm-hmm. Are they divine human hybrid type of things? And how does that fit with even creationism that says everything populates after its own kind and so on?
Either way, whether they're angels or they're actual men on earth, the thing that fascinates me about the book of Genesis is that God got so angry that he would do this. Because we look at the world today and we see, of course, there's so much good in the world too. I mean, are we saying that there was no good that was going on during the times of Genesis where God would look down with favor and say, I'm pleased with what's going on? Because I'm sure he must look up there now and say, boy, I like what so-and-so is doing. I like what's going on here. This is good. This is good. I'm not going to extend my wrath. Was there no good that was going on during those times during Genesis before the end? And we're going to have to take a break right now. It always goes so fast when we have good discussions. I know you're going to come, because this is going to take a much longer than one show to talk about. And I'd like to have you on again. I'm talking to Mary Lervold. She's written the book Reign of the Watcher. She's an expert on Genesis, the book of Genesis, and also Pastor Don Jordan from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. Fascinating discussion on what actually was going through God's mind before he ended the world in Genesis with the great floods. We'll continue our discussion after this break.
Jerry O'Lennon here for ABC Books. If you're looking to save money and get quality new and used books, try ABC Books in Chico. They're at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in, say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what hidden gems you may find there. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC.
As parents, we know there are many options for the education of our children. Champion Christian School has been in our community since 1991 and is now located at 5850 Clark Road in Paradise. Champion Christian School is fully accredited, offering quality academic and athletic programs for grades 7 through 12. Champion Christian School is supported by your contributions. To make a donation, call 413-9802, 413-9802, or visit them online at championcs.org.
AMF Orchard Lanes would like to invite you to their Christian Fellowship Leagues starting on April 29th. Christian Fellowship Leagues are open to all ages, great family fun, and all faiths are accepted. Bring your team of four every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. starting April 29th. For only $10 per week for 10 weeks, call AMF Orchard Lanes for more details at 530-895-3257. That's 895-3257.
Hi, this is your friend Steve Michaels inviting you to join me for a journey through the 20th century on The Afternoon Harvest, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 p.m. on 104.5 FM and 930 AM, KKXX, Life Radio.
This is Live Local Talk.
This is good.
The Reign of the Watchers by Mary Lervold. And it's a book about what happened prior to God destroying the earth with the great flood, where Moses was saved and kept the rule.
That's an interesting thing. If God really wanted to end the world, he would not have let Moses live. He had something in mind the whole time, didn't he? He knew he didn't want to end it. People say he wanted to end the world, but he didn't really want to end the world because he wouldn't have let people survive. He wouldn't have let the animals survive. He knew that he had a long-term plan.
He definitely had a long-term plan. And really, if he was going to end the world because of sin, the time that he would have done it was after the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right after Adam and Eve sinned, he could have said, well, this really got
this
messed
up. Yeah,
this isn't working out. I'm going to wipe you guys out, you know, follow through.
Yeah.
You know, death is what you earn, and start over with a new batch. You know, he could have done that. And because he loved Adam and Eve so much, and all the children that they would have after that, because he loved us so much, he instead gave his promise right there after the first sin. And
paint a picture for us, Mary Lervold. She is the author of Reign of the Watchers. Tell us what was happening in the world just prior to God making the decision to destroy the world, except for the few that remained, you know, Noah, etc.
Well, I'll tell you what. Reign of the Watchers just gets into the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
The next two books.
Oh, there's more.
I'm in the process of writing the sequel, the book two, and we'll get into more and more of what horrible sinning things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible tells us in the New Testament also that it was horrible before the flood, that there were murders, that there was violence, that there was, just terrible things.
How many people populated the earth back then? So for some reason, it seems like there was, in my mind, it seems like a few thousand, but there must have been far, far, far more than that. But I don't really know. Do we know?
Well, yeah, there were a whole lot. And I'm going to go back up just a bit. One of the things that's critical, absolutely critical in the look, looking at Genesis, is that it's a historical book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only that, it's a scientific book. It isn't myth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the other clay tablets you may find or dig up in a dig, and, ancient Library of Ebla and archaeological finds, or, Sumerian writings, those are the myths.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that, were handed down stories. This is the very word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We can bank our salvation, our everlasting soul, on the words, the very words of Scripture, including Genesis.
Genesis was written by Moses. Or was it?
Yes, it was written by Moses, inspired by God.
Uh-huh.
This was regarded as the inspired word of God from mm-hmm. way back.
Mm-hmm.
Moses did write it.
Where are the earliest manuscripts, copies of Genesis? Do you know where they're located? Who has them?
Well, you'd have to go way back into some archaeological finds, Jerry. Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and things of this nature. I'm not sure Genesis is in those fragments. Those are actually just fragments.
Right.
But they do take us back. We don't have the original manuscript that Moses wrote on through the Holy Spirit.
Sure, no, sure.
We don't have the original manuscripts of even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels. But we can go back to a few centuries B.C. and find some fragments and copies of those. And we have very good evidence. And they match up. Perfectly. Mm-hmm. They match up. These manuscripts match, these copies, but they do exist throughout the world. And the Holy Spirit has preserved the Word of God. What Mary is really articulating here is the Word of God is reliable. Mm-hmm. And it really is foundational for our belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if we take out the historicity of Genesis 1 through 6, for example, and if we say it's mythical, if we say that Adam and Eve are mythical, which many churches do, mm-hmm. the largest Lutheran church in this country, the ELCA Lutheran, looks at the Bible as containing the Word of God, not being the Word of God, and therefore doubts the veracity of Scripture. So this is absolutely foundational. We may disagree on the interpretation of who these sons of God are, but we do not disagree on the foundational aspects of Genesis and the implications for Jesus and the gospel, because he refers to it. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, have you not read? Mm-hmm. And he affirms that Adam and Eve were real historical people. Back to your question before the break, was any good going on the earth then? The answer mm-hmm. is absolutely yes. And it was through a man by the name of Noah who was preaching the gospel, calling people to repentance. But in the end, only he and his wife and the six of his family were saved. Eight people were saved, mm-hmm. First Peter tells us, of course, and that ties us into baptism of how we are saved today. So today, is the world wicked? Is it evil? Absolutely. It's going to get worse before Christ comes again. Stand by. You haven't seen anything yet.
You see, because sometimes we hear people say, boy, you know, the world mm-hmm. is going to hell in a handbasket, you know, and you hear that all the time. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And I wonder, maybe it was worse way back in Genesis times. Was it worse then than it is now? Have we improved over the... We have to go to a break. I'll pick up on that topic over the course of these centuries. Have things gotten better, or have they gotten worse from the times of Noah? We'll wrap up our discussion with Mary Lervell, author of Reign of the Watchers. What an interesting discussion. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural, Mount Shasta Springwater is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.
I'm Kristen, the mobile pet groomer. My van is my office, so I don't have a real street address for deliveries, but I do have a mailbox with...
Robert, I own the UPS store near Kristen. I sign for all her packages and send out a text or email when they arrive. Kristen loves being on her own.
But with Robert's help, I'm not alone.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics.
There are three convenient UPS store locations in Chico on Mangrove, Skyway, and East Avenue. Or you can get more information at theupsstore.com.
To our show.
I'm Scott Olwin.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Jerry Lennon.
I'm Richard Hoyt Jr.
Join us each weekday at 12:30 p.m. for our show, Chico Now.
A half hour designed for the community and brought to you by the community.
Each day, one of our hosts will join with people from organizations throughout the greater Chico area.
We want to let you know what's happening in Chico Now.
So join us at 12:30 Monday through Friday here on KKXX for Chico Now. My
life is so hard. Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
We are going to bring Mary Lervold back on the show for a much longer discussion. Reign of the Watchers. That's the book. She is, fair to say, an expert, a scholar in the book of Genesis. And tell me real briefly, you went to college where at again?
Dr. Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And that was a very conservative Lutheran college associated with the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what is it about Genesis and that just really tickles your fancy? Where you really find you really enjoy learning about it. I mean, it's interesting to me how everybody has selected interest. You know, some people like, you know, certain things and they just really get passionate about it. What is it about Genesis?
For one thing, it's just a time period that only has, a little bit written about it as far as what happened before the flood. You know, nobody knows a whole lot about what happened before the flood. When I first really in-depth studied Genesis, that was at Dr. Martin Luther College. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful Professor Roland Haneke. And he must have been 85 at the time. Maybe he wasn't that old. You know, we were young, everybody then. But he had the softest voice, and he would lecture. He was an absolute Hebrew scholar. And he brought the words of Genesis alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, our hearts burned within us. You know, the ending bell of the class would ring. Mm-hmm. And it was like everybody thought, oh, nuts.
Yeah,
the class is over. It was that wonderful of a book. And that's where my big interest in Genesis began. And but also the implications of Genesis, just like Pastor was saying, you know, are staggering. You know, I always was curious about what did salvation look like before the flood? What did salvation look like before Israel was on the
scene? Was there salvation? Could people have been saved with, you know, because the sin existed, obviously. What happened to people's souls when they died? Where would they go? Was forgiveness given? What happened then?
Well, we can see from right after the first sin, Genesis chapter 3, in fact, Genesis 3:15, after, and it's the curse against the serpent, mm-hmm. that we have the first promise, you know, and God said to the serpent that, okay, what's the exact quote?
Well, he said to the serpent, I'm going to crush your head. This offspring of the woman, the seed, is going to crush your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. And that's the first prophecy of Jesus Christ, Jerry. And Mary would assert this, too. And I know it's in her book there, too, The Reign of the Watchers, because I read it. Mm-hmm. And I picked up on that, this salvation, this redemption, this sacrifice of the animals right there to provide the skins. And yes, there was salvation for Adam and Eve. We actually commemorate the day of Adam in the Lutheran Church on the calendar, and we commemorate him as the first saint, as a believer and who looked to Christ, and he has salvation. Yes.
So souls that were not just sitting in limbo, they were God judged people at that time whether or not they would be in heaven or whether they would be in hell before Jesus came.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, they did, because you know it was belief in the promise, belief in the seed that God promised, and not relying on their own works.
And Genesis tells us that Abraham believed in God, and he counted unto him as righteousness. Abraham was justified by trusting in the coming Christ. Well, Sunday in John 8, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Uh-huh. Abraham knew of the coming Messiah.
Okay, so in other words, you still had to enter through heaven through Jesus, even though Jesus had not walked on earth.
I mean, the Son was there.
You still had to believe. You had to believe that the Son was going to come to earth. You still believed in the Son.
And here's the comparison, Jerry. You and I don't have Jesus here on this earth right now. We look back 2,000 years and we trust in what He did on the cross on Good Friday. They looked forward to it, and that's the only difference. They looked forward to it, but it was still the promise and clearly revealed in the New Testament.
Interesting.
But salvation is always by grace through faith. Yes.
Let me ask a quick question here. We have about 3 minutes. Gosh, you got to come back. From the time of Adam and Eve until the Great Flood, how many years passed?
Oh, boy. Let's see. From Adam and Eve to the Flood, well, it was 1,656 years.
Okay.
So 1656 was the year of the Flood after creation.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, people lived a whole lot longer then.
Yeah, they did.
Pretty much 10 times longer than they do now.
Uh-huh. What was that?
Well, you know, the earth got populated real quick that way. Uh-huh. And I'd say it's God's graciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been, the lives of man have been shortened after the flood out of God's graciousness too, because he knows how much trouble we can get into if we've got long lives.
And some have posited too that theologically the effects of sin started to shorten the lifespans in the Old Testament, no doubt too, the consequences of sin. And we can see that today. People who overtly sin, who do ridiculously evil things, don't live long lives. They don't. They live comparatively shorter lives. And godly people in general tend to live longer lives. So there's an aspect of that too. One of the things I wanted to mention here too that's really, really important is just the whole implications of creationism and even the young earth theory, that the earth isn't millions and millions and millions of years old either, as scientists are telling us. It's much younger when we look at the genealogies in the scripture.
Yeah. Wait, how old is the earth, do you think, Mary?
Well, according to the Jewish calendar, it's 5773 this year. So it's under 6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to keep in mind that evolution is the myth, not Genesis. And when God created things, he created things with age. I mean, Adam was full grown. He wasn't a little teeny embryo, you know. The animals were full grown. The earth was fully formed. So creating things with age can throw off a carbon dating real easy, or however else, you know, things are.
And scientists will tell you that the world is millions of years old.
That's because they only atheist scientists, non-believing scientists. There are plenty of Christians who are scientists that don't go by that. But it's the common think, widespread, that everything's a million years old. But that's in my book, that's a lie of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't true. Mm. And scientists always have to keep changing their theories to fit new discoveries. The Bible doesn't change. It hasn't had to change.
Well, you promised me you're going to come back onto the show for a much longer discussion, because I'm really interested in what you have to say. The book is called Reign of the Watchers, Mary Lervold, and you can get the book over at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. I'm going to read it. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much for being on the program. I wish we had more time.
Oh, but me too. Well, thank you very much.
You'll come back. You promise.
I promise.
I love discussions like this. Pastor Donald Jordan from Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, as always, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. So long, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day. God bless.
Holbrook's Clearance Center, the North State's number one furniture liquidators.
Holbrook's Clearance Center sells national name brand furniture at 50 to 75% off retail.
Come in and see unbelievable pricing on dining sets, coffee and table sets, and complete bunk beds.
Holbrook's also carries dressers, recliners, futons, sofa, and sofa love seat combos.
Holbrook's has something comfortable for every room in your home, and we'll sell you the inventory right off the floor.
Holbrook's Clearance Center is everything for your home.
Open 7 days a week.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Spring Water. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural, Mount Shasta Spring Water is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.